Good morning, Rock Bible Church.
Good morning.
All right, it's good to see you. Do you hear that? That's fellowship. Let it remain said that the church is a social construct on some level. It's commanded. Fellowship is one of the spiritual disciplines. Amen. It's good to see you. It's good to be at church and to make it to Sunday this week. And it's been a weird week. The Raiders are in first place. Right? But it has been a rough week in some ways. We're going to address that a little bit this morning. We're going to continue in our series in the book of Hebrews, and we're going to do chapter 5. And I thought it was interesting because it's Hebrews chapter 5, and the title that I put together was Suffering in Christ. And then we had the events of this week that we'll talk about a little bit when we get into it. So it was, for me, it was good to be here at church and be ready to talk about the Lord and get a reset and be clear as to who God is, what he wants, what he cares about, and then how do we do our identity in Christ. And so we're going to have a little fun with that this morning, I think. We're going to do Hebrews 5, as I said. But before we do that, welcome to Rock Bible Church. We are a Christ-centered, biblically-based, compelling, casual community. We're compelling ourselves and others to Christ in casual ways that welcome all to worship, be in a community that serves the greater community. Amen? And most of us sit on this side for some reason. It's kind of weird. It's okay to sit over here, okay? We want to reiterate that men's group, Monday night, 7 o'clock. We're right behind this building, little fire pit, sit in a circle, get the Bible out. We started a new thing last week, was week one. We're calling it Meet Pete. Peter the disciple, probably the most identifiable disciple. And the one that, well, you can relate to the most as a guy. And we started last Monday. We'll continue tomorrow night. And we're going to find out, what is the Peter meter? How do we measure what were the goods and the bads and some uglies? So if you're interested in that, I'll be around afterwards. Love to talk to you. Let's pray and jump right in. All right, Lord, thank you for this morning, and thank you that we can have hope and faith in the face of difficult times, difficult things. And we can have joy, anticipation, belief in the future, and then trust in the truth. I pray that as we look at your word this morning, that the chapter that was set to be talked about this morning will be appropriate for the events of the week. And then, Lord, like you always do, I pray that you would speak to each one of us individually, our hearts and our minds, that we might come out of here with a little more of you. And so bless this time, bless what's said, what's heard, and how it's applied in Jesus' name through his Spirit. Amen. Amen. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. We've been, author of Hebrews has been making the case for why Christ is supreme. And more than an angel, more than just God's son, but God himself and part of everything. And we've been uncovering a lot of things. That said, he's going to continue his argument. And he has been talking about how Jesus is the ultimate high priest. And he's now going to do a comparison between two types of high priests. The Jesus one and everybody else. That's the comparison. Here he goes. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. A human that's a priest, a human that's a pastor, ooh, dare I say that, they can relate. They're fallible, make mistakes, get things wrong. You figure that out? Okay, I qualify for that. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also, Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." And he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Melchizedek is the earliest reference to a priest, and it's a longer story slash shorter story from early Old Testament, and someone's on a journey and they run into this guy Melchizedek, and he was priest of Most High God. Well, apparently it was correct. We get very little beyond that, other than he was doing what he's supposed to do. Everywhere else in Scripture where it's mentioned, it's just a quick mention, and he was the standard up to this point. Who's the new standard? Jesus. So Jesus is now after him, but now he's called like a human priest would be. But now let's find out how he's different. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications. What are supplications? I need help with the big words. Supplications. It's kind of like, Lord, Fred is having a rough time. He needs help. Please help him. It's an ask. That's the best way to. We do sacrifices and things like that. We ask for forgiveness, things like that. But supplication is generally prayer on behalf of something or someone. All right. With loud cries and tears, to him who is able to save him from death. He's crying out to God, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience. What is that word? Obedience. Jesus learned obedience? I thought he knew all things. There's a doctrine, right? The omniscience of God, that all omni, science, knowledge, things, right? How is it that he's learning obedience? Oh, it's because the Bible contradicts itself, Scott. No. It's the best way for us to understand. It puts it in words that we can relate to so that we can get as close to understanding what are the wisest thoughts for us, but yet still foolishness to God, because he's like, this is the best you can understand it. It might be better said that he practiced obedience, or he exampled obedience. Was Jesus ever disobedient prior to this? Right? So he was already doing obedience. He just continued to do obedience in the midst of a hard time. The reference here is very obscure, but we're talking about at the end, there was this significant event that you might be familiar with, where he's praying to the Lord, crying, sweating, bleeding, and he's saying, "Hey, Lord, you can save me from this. In fact, we can call down angels. We can do violence. We're the best at it, undefeated." And what was God's plan? Come in, swoop in, save the day? Yes, in a totally different way. Not physically, not with violence. I'm going to come in and I'm going to save the day spiritually by showing how to sacrifice. That's what I want you to do. And Jesus said, okay, here we go, and obeyed. That's a hard one. This week, one of my friends texted me about the tragedy this assassination. And I thought to him, I gotta pray right now. I started praying. When I found out about it, I was yet to know whether he had passed. Speaking of Charlie Kirk. And so I was just praying, hey, Lord, don't let him suffer. And heal him. Do what you can. I know you can. And as hard as it is to understand, one thing that we're meant to know is that Jesus understands it 100%. Went through the whole thing. And there was no sniper attack with him. He walked into it. Marched into it. Carrying a cross, whipped, beaten, pounded thorns into his head, and said, yeah, I'm gonna keep doing obedience because this is the plan. I came from heaven to earth to show the way. I love this. I think the most violent entity to ever exist has never chosen violence. Of all the entities that could do violence, God, right? He can take, he can give, he can take away, he can wipe out anything, do whatever he wants. He says, no, I want to show you peace, I want to show you love, I want to show you sacrifice. And apparently he wants to show us that obediense word, how to obey through what he suffered. In the face of suffering, apparently that's important, obedience. Now, I dislike this to the core of my being, because when I am suffering, I want to burn stuff down. I want to get vocal. I want to post. And it's wrong. That's not the example of Christ. He says, look, hey, even in the midst of suffering, understand that your Savior, Jesus, the stories we get in the Gospels about the cross and the crucifixion, all of that is about obedience during suffering. Now, you can imagine, I'm studying this week, and the Charlie Kirk assassination happens. I'm like, somebody has amazing timing. Was it me?
No.
No. This chapter has been ordained for at least 6 or 7 weeks, maybe a little bit longer, when we decide we're going to do this book. We get to this book, and then this happened. Whew, let's keep going with it. Verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who, obey. Why does that word keep coming up? All that obey him. Being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek's no longer the high priest. Jesus is the new bestest, I know that's not a word, high priest, ultimate, the supreme. And he says, look, follow him. I know we say in Christendom, we say at church, have you been born again? Which is a really weird phrase, right? I try to use it as little as possible because it's confusing. Have you accepted faith in Jesus Christ? I mean, there's lots of ways that we say it. I think one of the easiest, most understandable ways, have you decided to obey Christ? Man, that's right straight to the point, right? About this, verse 11, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. It's a good thing we don't know who the author is, because a little mean, right? For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you. Teach you again the basic principles and the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice and distinguish, to distinguish good from evil. I love this. The powers of discernment should have a new superhero with the cape and the outfit. Hey, it's such and such. Hey, what's your superpower? I discerned. This is about you. It's about me. It's about us. Apparently, it's possible for us to understand. And it's possible for us to become dull, to lose our way, to get lost, confused, come up with bad ideas, and then act on them. There's someone else we need to be praying for this week, beyond Charlie Kirk. This poor individual, something's wrong. We can all discern that. We got to get to the point where we're understanding, God, that in the midst of suffering, we're still clear on what's good and what's evil. And that we're practicing it constantly. I love this because this is a working, functional definition of obedience. Well, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen? I was looking through the passage this week, and I really got stuck on the part where it says, in the midst of his suffering. And then the Charlie Kirk thing happened, and I was like, oh, we have to be talking about suffering in Christ. We talked a couple weeks ago about being attentive to Christ, and then we talked about faithfulness to Christ, and we get to chapter 5, and it says, hey, if you're going to be attentive to him, and then you're going to be faithful to him, make sure you do that. Because things are going to get rough. I want to live in a world where we can still joke and have fun and be entertained. And I think that's still possible if we learn how to carry ourselves in the midst of tragedy and difficulty. And I was reminded of this, Nate. If we could get that, it's the John passage, I think. Yeah, this is Jesus speaking. Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home. He's speaking to the disciples. You'll leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. I talked about that the other week. Alone is not a vocabulary word in God's economy. God's always with you. No such thing as alone, no such thing as independent. I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. What's the goal? Not violence. Peace. If somebody has an opinion that's different than you, praise the Lord. If we all had the exact same opinion, do you know how boring that would be? I'm kind of glad we have two political parties. I'd like a third. More ideas. But we got to be able to have conversation and things and figure out who others are and work out who we are, that we might, as far as it depends on us, be at peace with all men. You know that's a verse? So far as it depends on you, like on your side of the equation, make sure you're doing everything you can to promote peace. Love that. That in me you may have peace. Where do we get peace? In Christ. In the world, you will have tribulation. That's one of those big words. Can somebody help me again? Get out the New International Version, that translation of the Bible, the NIV. It says, in this world, you will have trouble. This week should be no surprise. I mean, you're going to have tribulation all the time. Us Raider fans, we know. In 20 years. Since that guy fumbled and they didn't call it a fumble, and now the guy owns us. Literally. Right? Now, this is a silly example. The reality is you don't know who you're sitting next to. You really don't. The things that are going on in their life and the things that they're afraid to talk about, the things in their past, the things that they're fearful of the future. And we got to find a way. How do we help them when they're in trouble? How do you get help from them when you're in trouble? This is the key. And Jesus saying, hey, look, this is what's going to happen. You know what else? You know what that's really saying? This is the plan. I'm going to give you tribulation so that you learn who you are, who others are, and you learn how to work together. It's brilliant design. Do you know why you're only good at some things? Jeez, God, why are you being so mean? Why are you only good at certain things? So you will need other people. Right? At the very beginning of the book, I mean the whole book, it is not good for man to be alone. We'll make him a helper. What's that mean? Translate that. It means men need help. You are always meant to be in relationship with other people. He has designed you to have deficiencies on purpose. He makes the waters rough so that when you get out of the boat and try to walk, there's a little bit of doubt so that you learn to trust him. That's a Peter story. Why do we have trouble? To get closer to God. To know peace. To learn how to be obedient. And he says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I think we have to remember that this week. We know who's in charge. We know who created it, designed it. We've read the end of the book. We know who wins. Pick the right team. And I don't mean political party, right? We don't do politics here, right? Christ-centered, biblically based, compelling, casual community, right? Compelling ourselves and others to Christ. Not a political party? No. And then being in casual ways that welcome all to, really? Not social media? Not posting, getting your opinions out? Activism, is that what he called us to? He's called us to peace. In fact, the greatest commandment is love each other, right? Somebody pointed this out to me, this is quite a while ago. Love each other, if you take the acronym, the first letter out, what's the spell? Leo. I know, I just thought, I'm supposed to be a Leo. I'm supposed to love each other. Fun. I have to find ways to remember it. Why? Because in the midst of people getting shot or divorced or getting cancer or losing their jobs or whatever, I mean, the list goes on and on. I have to somehow keep the mind of Christ. I was thinking about this week. It's like, we got to do this. We got to do this. Amen? Let's look at how do we do suffering in Christ? What do we need to know about suffering in Christ? This is where we're going to get into our fill-ins here. Number one, suffering leads to something. Understanding. It said discernment. But I like understanding. Now, understanding with what? Patience is good. Patience by itself is not always good. There was a guy that was very patient this week, and he did something evil. Patience has to be positive or it's no good, right? Where does understanding come from? Well, I tried this and it didn't work. I was being good patient, so I tried it again. Practice. Practice, right? Suffering leads to understanding if you practice. If you try to discern and look for the good, dare I say, pray about it, Honestly, when I heard the news this week, it took me a few minutes. And of course, I'm on my phone and I'm texting the people that are texting me. And I'm like, wait, show me, send me a picture. What? Where's this news article? Da, da, da. And I got a few minutes into it. And I realized I had preempted something. What did I preempt? Prayer. Scott, why haven't you talked to God about this? This guy is in an ambulance or a hospital or who knows what's going on. And you're playing thumb hockey? Come on. Get back in the game. The real game of what's going on. You know, I want to relieve you of something. Of the desire to be first. I want to find the first story. I want to find the first video of it. I want to find the truth. I want to be the first to know. Wait, what did the so-and-so say? I want to do first. Okay? And I'm going to relieve you of it by showing you how to win. You can be first every time. Right? Who knows all of that stuff? Talk to him. You'll be first. You'll be exactly where you need to be. You're referencing the guy who knows all of it and truth. That takes practice. I need to listen to verses and podcasts, and I have to do it regularly. I need to listen to worship songs to the point where I can recite them. And the reason I do memory verses is because of times like this week. And it helps me when I know 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, for no temptation has come upon you, but such is common to man. This stuff happens, it's common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will provide a way of escape that you might endure it. Find your way through. You are not special. You never have been. Everybody goes through hard times. There is never an excuse for you to act out. Follow the Lord. Be nice. Crack a smile. Work your way through it. That's how I get help. I got to read verses over and over in order to learn them. That's called practice. That's why I come to church. What do you mean, Scott? You come to church because you're the pastor. No, I come to church because I desperately need it. You guys know Doug. Everybody knows Doug. And unless this is your first time here, everybody else knows Doug. Doug usually sits right here. He can't be here today, so let's talk about him. Amen? Yes. One of the things I love about Doug is when we take a break from men's group, he gets mad at me. And there is never a word that he has spared, right? He just lets it out. He's like, Scott, we have to have men's group every week because I need it. I need the practice. I need to be around those guys because I struggle like everybody else. Ooh. We got to figure out how to practice the right things. Because practice can be done the wrong way. You can practice the wrong things. Snide comments, the quick rebut. Oh, yeah, I'll post back to them. Ghosting or not responding to people, being rude, quitting. There's lots of things you can practice. In fact, you're a practicer. You are a professional at practicing. You just need to figure out what you're going to practice. Right? Because you're going to spiral up or you're going to spiral down. That's number one. Suffering leads to understanding if we practice or with practice. Number two, suffering, D, long word, good and evil. Now, it's not discerns, but it's like it distinguishes. You could be distinguished. Suffering helps you understand the difference between good and evil. It is less fun than blessing or gifts. I like learning that way. But when you see evil, you recognize it. When you see good, you recognize it. when you get help out of struggle, you know who showed up. And when you're down and they kick you, you'll never forget those shoes. We got to figure out what good and evil is. And folks, we have one of the most glorious roles. If we continually practice the distinguishing of good and evil, we have a voice that will bring truth and peace and healing to other people. That's what we're about. And that's when it starts to make sense. Jesus came down. He could have called a legion of angels. He could have just military taken over. That's what they thought he was going to do. And they misunderstood a bunch of messianic prophecy that this new, the coming king, right? He's king of glory. No, he's king of all. And all means it, also the heart and the head. How we make those mesh. How to get all kinds of different types of people together. I love that. You know, this one of the sad pieces of what happened this week is that there was a conflict in difference. There was this side and that side, or people saw themselves as different, and it was viewed as a bad thing. Difference. As Christians, we should be embracing difference, celebrating difference. I mean, can you imagine if you all had to look exactly like me? How terrible would that be? I know, Scott, I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. No, the fact that no two people look exactly the same, how glorious is that? There's innate value in uniqueness. You see a guy that's different than you? That should be great. I wonder who he is. And then you should be asking the question, I bet he's fun. What are the good parts about him? Now, can that backfire on you? For sure. But so far as it depends on you, do the experiment. Try to distinguish the good in everything. And I will say this, because I've been getting this question for the last 4 days, 5 days. What possible good could come out of this? Why would God allow this to happen? Folks, I have few answers for that. I know that Charlie's in his eternal rest and he's at peace and he's not in pain. He doesn't argue with anybody or fight with anybody. And he's at the best party ever. But beyond that, I don't know. What's good out of it? Well, I'm still here. The only shot won. I'm going to start making up stuff as to what's good in it. But I got to be in the practice of looking for the good. It's why I can say, and this is not easy for me, but it's why I can say we need to pray for Tyler Robinson. Because I need to hope that there's good somewhere in the future there for him. And I know I make mistakes. I'm not that big of a mistake. But I want to be able to afford good to others. Number three. Suffer helps us learn obedience. One of the hardest things to do is to keep your cool. When the amygdala goes off, you guys know what the amygdala is? It's in the brain. Fight or flight? You ever been freaked out and you feel this rush? What's the goosebumps? Right? When somebody comes after you, when you get hurt, when you touch something and it burns you, and all the hardest thing is bite your tongue. Or you find out somebody's been stabbing you in the back for a really long time, and it's like, I can't believe they, right? How do you keep your cool? How do you keep your calm? How do you stay peaceful? How do you express love? You gotta learn obedience. How did it say he learned obedience? He did it through suffering and by practicing. We're supposed to pray for our enemies? Really? How often do we do that? I see, here's the thing. And I'm the only me I've ever known. I've never been any of you. Praise God. Vice versa. But I know the problem that I have is I go on the offensive. I had a really long soccer experience as a kid, all the way up through college. Any guesses on how often I played defense? There were some rumors as to, Scott doesn't really play defense, does he? Right? I want to go offensive. I want to be proactive. I want to make stuff happen. I want to go. Give me the bat. Give me the pen. Show me the mat. Come on. Let's put two hands on the rope. Let's start working. You know, that can get you in trouble. When you overown things that belong to someone else. I was told that by somebody really smart. Scott, I think you're overowning something that belongs to someone else. No, I have the right to say what I want to think. I'm just speaking my mind. You know all these phrases that we've made up that justify sin and devalue other things? All right, I got another Sunday service extra for you because Ephesians 6, I've been spinning on this. This is, Nate's going to help us out here. Finally, be strong in the Lord. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and following. We're not going to read the whole thing. But this is Paul talking to the church at Ephesus and saying, look, probably best advice is for you guys to use the whole armor of God. Actually says it twice in the passage. I want you to use the whole armor of God. Okay? Whose armor? Okay, not our armor. Now, I like to put on my own armor and such, but I want to point out some things because this really stood out to me this week in the midst of all this violence. And then, you know, the right wants to retaliate and all this. No, we're not doing that, right? The whole armor of God, if you look down through this thing and you look to verse 14, it would talk about the belt of truth, right? Is that something offensive? Truth? It's like an understanding thing. You can't, I mean, people could get offended, but you're not like antagonizing with truth. You're doing truth. Verse 14 also talks about the blessed breastplate of righteousness. Can you righteous someone else? You know, they really have, I'm going to righteous them. You can't, no. There's only one person you can righteous. Well, Scott, what does righteous mean? When you're doing right, okay? When you're doing godly, when you're doing holy, when you're doing good. You can control no other person's action. You can control self. So is this aggressive? It's not. So we got two pieces of armor. Both of them are self. I do truth. I do righteousness. Verse 15, the shoes of the gospel. Not just the gospel, it says gospel of peace. Now, am I being aggressive with other people if I'm doing peace? No, and if I'm sharing the gospel with them, and that's how I walk, it's interesting that it's the shoes. I'm walking in the gospel. I love that. Am I doing something benevolent for them, a blessing? Okay. None of these are offense. Shield of faith. Can you do someone else's faith? No, you do your own. It's also personal, not offense, right? Helmet of salvation. We bank on something Christ did for us. Is that something you do to other people? No, not offensive either. And the sword of the Spirit. Finally, we have an attack weapon. I mean, if all the armor was on the stage, and God said, hey, you want to pick one? Which one am I getting? The sword. Yeah. Do you know there's There's only two weapons mentioned in this passage. The sword of the Spirit. And what's the other one? I don't know. You need to know this one this week. You have to know this one because of this week. The darts of the evil one. Who does violence? Evil and the Spirit. For vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. When are we called to violence?
Never.
All right, we figured it out. Have a good Sunday. See you later. We're do truth, do salvation, do gospel, do righteousness, do all the things. Work on you best you can. Stop getting angry at all this other stuff. You want it solved? Talk to the only solver. There's only one. He's the high priest, right? Remember at the beginning of the passage, hey, the great high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. And he compared him to a human priest. And what did it say that he was supposed to do? What did it say? Offering for sins? What else? Gifts. Said the high priest gives gifts. You ever thought about that? That's weird. I thought the high priest was just for offering sacrifices. No, there's some kind of gift out of that. What's the gift? Peace is one. Where's peace come from? Peace in Christ. We're looking for the wrong gifts. And we value the wrong things. We think if we get active or we do this or we stand up, we speak up. Truth is we're going to get ourselves in trouble. Because what he wants us to value is grace, love, hope, peace, patience, kindness. What's the next one?
Self-control.
Goodness. Then self-control. I know you couldn't control yourself. You couldn't wait for goodness. You had to get to self-control. Okay, good. Way to focus. Fruits of the Spirit. Let us remember that suffering is only suffering. And there is good in it. When it draws us closer to the Lord. When it teaches us how to be obedient, that we might practice it. When it helps us discern good and evil. That's what we're meant to do. And then it's helped to put evil and fear in its place. And we'll close on that. There's only one thing you're supposed to fear. A separation from the Lord. If you're separated from God, nothing can help you. If you're connected to God, there is always hope.
Yes,
and you never do it alone. You were never meant to. You were created and designed to be in communion with God. And he says, remember this, right? Sarah's preaching next week. He says, love God, love your neighbor. It's so simple, so easy to say, oh, it's the greatest commandment. You know, when they asked Jesus, what was the great? You know the story. The hard part is when suffer happens. When somebody makes a big mistake or a small mistake. Even harder is when it's you. And you realize you're the one that hurt someone, cost someone something. All right, Lord, time for you to do your thing. What do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? And if he tells you to sit down and shut up, do it. If he tells you to get in your car and go solve it or whatever, go do it. Right? But get counsel from somebody else before you, just in case. Amen? We're praying this week, folks. We're praying this week about more than ourselves. Violence is the way of the world, and it's becoming popular. What's the problem with that sentence? Becoming. It's always been popular. It's from the beginning. Cain killed Abel. I'll solve it. I'll just wipe somebody out. Right? It's the human condition, always has been. As long as we have humans, we will have sin. And have to learn how to work our way through it and help others in it too. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for some clarity this week. And thank you for what we believe will be cooler heads prevailing. We thank you for dads that know the right thing to do and do it. I think just on the more general level, Lord, I'm thankful that obedience is possible. You've made it so that we can follow you, and you have shown us the way. I pray for anybody that needs direction or has yet to follow you, yet to obey you. You help them make that decision. And then we as Christians, we as a church, me as a pastor, that we might be a support and a blessing to them. May we let them see what it means that you're a priest who wants to give gifts and solve sin. We thank you for all this and the offering we're about to receive. Pray you bless it. Use it as you will for your church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Love it. It's October 10th, Friday night, 15-year anniversary of the church. Mark it on your calendar. We're going to party, eat food, have fun. Invite a friend, okay? Because it's free. Free food. No. May you love someone that looks and sounds different than you. And then in your suffering, may you take a hold of him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Go with him.